pastor of Bethany Primitive Baptist Church. We had canceled services this morning due to the coronavirus, and we certainly hated to do that. It really hurts really down deep to try to do that, but we want to keep everybody safe, and we hope the people that have access to this kind of media will be able to hear this little message we have for not only our congregation, but anybody else that might be tuning in, and they might be blessed to get through this crisis that we're in, and also to be able to look up to the hills for whence cometh our help. And that, of course, it always comes from the Lord. We feel even to be blessed to be able to be alive this morning, a new day, a new day of worship, but yet we aren't at the house of God maybe today, but God knows our hearts, and we're still able to call upon a great God who does all things exceedingly well. We'll pause for a word of prayer and beg the Lord to help us as we try to delve into the Word of God for just a little while. It will be an abbreviated message. It won't be the full message you usually preach when I was at church, but of course some people will be glad of that. They always want to get out early, so you won't have to worry about getting out early today because you probably aren't in the house of God, but we trust you'll still be able to worship the Lord in your privacy of your home and also be able to pray to that great God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to speak to the Lord's children. Of those that are watching, we pray that you bless them. Those, Lord, that are in the hospitals and recovering from surgery and different kinds of illness, I pray you continue to touch them with the healing hand of God. Those that have been affected by this virus, Lord, I pray you bless them to recover. Those that have lost loved ones, be with them, comfort and strengthen them. Bless us, dear Heavenly Father, as we try to bring a message of hope and comfort to the people of God this morning. It might be a blessing to some person that's watching this broadcast, and they might be able to realize where their hope lies. It's not in the government. It's not in any man. It's not in any institution, but our hope resides, of course, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son to bleed and suffer and die. And thank you for all good and perfect gifts. For us in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. This morning, read from John chapter 1, verse 16. This is a very poignant verse of Scripture because we certainly need what this verse says we have received. The Apostle John says, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." What a marvelous text of Scripture. I'm not sure I understand the fullness of what that fullness is recorded there in John chapter 1. But it's great, because I know in Colossians 2 and about verse 9, Paul writes and says, "Of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." And of his fullness, rather John wrote that, but Paul said in Colossians 2 and 9, "Of his fullness, in his fullness dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Can you imagine in the body of Jesus Christ it dwells all the fullness of God? I don't know how full that is, but you got God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's pretty full. And Jesus was full of grace and truth. He was full of mercy, full of everything that God's children need here in this little ground of San Isidro. And certainly we're thankful for that. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." So we have to receive grace in order to have grace, in order to serve God effectively and acceptably before God. But we aren't in a position to ask for that grace because we don't desire it by nature. We're dead in trespasses and in sin and have no desire for God or for his grace. But God in his sovereignty and his mercy dispenses his grace according to his will. And we receive that grace, but not because we ask for it, but because God sovereignly bestowed it upon us and one of his chosen children of God. We read over in 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Apostle Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And, of course, that's the lot of all of us. If we're anything at all, it's only by God's grace. tells us over in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 14, he said, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And that spirit of adoption, of course, is by God's grace. We didn't ask for it, but we received it passively, not actively, but passively. Because we couldn't actively seek it and had no desire, because we, by nature, are dead in trespasses and in sin. And so that spirit sent by God Almighty, we have received. And he said, by which we are able to cry, Abba, Father, or the relationship of son and father. God is our father. We cry, Abba, Father. We cry for mercy only because we've been touched by God's grace, God's saving grace. We received it. And we read over in the 2 Corinthians 8:9, this is all wrapped up, of course, in our Savior Jesus Christ. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, in your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." Jesus humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, and in that body dwelled the fullness of all the Godhead bodily. And he was full of grace and truth. God's been dispensing grace all these centuries, but yet he's got just as much grace as he ever had, because he's self-sustaining. We can't say the same for ourselves, because we consume it, and we can't use yesterday's grace for today, or tomorrow's grace, which really there won't ever be a tomorrow, but we need today's grace, you see. And it's available to those born of the Holy Spirit of God. In the same chapter of John, chapter 1, and verse 11, he said, "He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So Jesus came to his own natural kindred, and in the spiritual sense, he comes to his own spiritual kindred as well. But he came to his own kindred, and those received him. Some did, some didn't. But those that did receive him, he gave power to become the sons of God. Not in order to be born again, but to be manifest sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Now, we don't want to stop reading there, because the next verse is going to describe those who were given the power to become sons of God in a manifest way, and to acknowledge their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had that power, but only because they had already had something done inside them. And the next verse tells us what it was. He said, "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." So it wasn't any will that they exercised, just like Romans chapter 9 tells us. Paul says, "It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but is of God that sheweth mercy." So it's not the will of man, it's not the will of the flesh, but it's the will of God. Those that then that did receive him and had the power to become sons of God were already born of God. Their receiving Christ in a manifest way did not have anything to do with them being born of God. It was the will of God that had been exercised, that they were born of the Holy Spirit of God. And of course, it comes from above, just like Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again," or from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so of his fullness that we all received, and grace for grace. Now we have access unto more grace, have a desire for it, because we've been touched by God's grace. We read over in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, or rather the 11th chapter, I believe it is, about verse 28, the last verse of the chapter. He says, "Let us therefore have grace, that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So after we receive grace, we still need more grace. Now let me regress just a little bit and go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began." So he saved us and called us. How? By his grace. It was given us in Christ before the world began. So it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy hath he saved us. So if it was by works of righteousness, none of us would ever be saved, because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. And we have received grace for grace. Now we can have access to more grace. We have a desire for more grace. And God dispenses it. We read over in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "But he giveth more grace. resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. But he giveth more grace. Now, we can't have more grace unless we have already have some grace. That stands logical to think about. But let us have more grace. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And it's available there. We certainly need it each and every day. I need grace to be able to bring this little message. You need grace to be able to receive it. Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing. Without God's grace, it's impossible to do anything that's pleasing in his sight. But he giveth more grace. I'm glad God's still giving more grace for the Lord's children. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wanted that thorn of the flesh to be removed over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, but he besought the Lord three times that it might depart from him, but God didn't see fit. It wasn't his will to remove that thorn of the flesh. But he did answer his prayer in that he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul went on to say, after that message he said that had been given him by God, he said, but I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, for when I am weak, then am I strong. That's what grace does. It gives you the strength to bear the infirmities of the flesh, and that thorn in the flesh that Paul was bearing, God gave him the grace to be able to bear that thorn. God gives us the grace in this crisis we're in now. God's still giving grace to the Lord's children, and I'm reminded of what Psalms 30 and 5 said when he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Aren't we glad of that? Aren't we glad that when darkness ensues tonight, that we can look forward to a sunshiny day tomorrow? Well, it might be a cloudy day, but the sun will still be shining behind the clouds. And in the midst of the darkest time, we know that the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings, and there's nothing that escapes his all-seeing eye, and he knows all about our situation. But yet there's grace that sustains us in this time of need. We read over in Hebrew letter chapter 4 and verse 16 about coming to the throne of grace. And the reason why we can do that is because we got our great high priest who has passed into the heavens, the Lord Jesus Christ, having fulfilled the law of God, having saved his people from their sins, ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of God, and making intercession for the people of God. And so we got that great high priest that has passed into the heavens. And in view of that great high priest, which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he was tempted in all points as we were, yet without sin, he says, let us therefore, in view of that high priest that is seated at the right hand of God and making intercession for the saints according to the will of God, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a marvelous avenue for the Lord's children there to come boldly to the throne of grace, but not arrogantly, boldly, but yet humbly, beseeching and begging for the mercy of God and the grace of God in time of need. And certainly there's not a time in our lives that isn't a time of need. It seems like there are times that are more needful than others. That's true. But still, it's still God's grace that sustains us. You know, the psalmist said, I believe it's the 55th chapter somewhere, he said, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And that's what we need to learn in this crisis here that we're in now, is to cast our burdens upon the Lord. Because there's nothing impossible with God, except that he cannot lie, he cannot die, he cannot do anything that's ungodly. There are some things God cannot do, but all things are possible with him in a good way. And I trust that we as God's children will remember that, not only this day, but each and every day of our lives. And so of his fullness have we all received in grace for grace. By faith we have access. And by the way, where did faith come? Faith come when you receive the grace of God. When God instilled that grace in your heart and soul and born you the Holy Spirit of God, faith came along with it because it's a gift of God. We read over in 1 John 5 and 4, he says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Notice that text didn't say whosoever is born of God, but whatsoever is born of God, telling us that faith was born of God. when you were born of God, born of the Holy Spirit of God, that's when you received faith. You didn't ask for faith, but God gave it to you. He came along with the grace that born you of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. Faith is mentioned in Galatians 5:22 as a fruit of the Spirit. That's the ninefold fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Faith is next to the last one. For he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Well, actually, it's the third one from the last one, but it's still a fruit of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, there can be no faith. All men do not have faith, according to 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul prayed. He said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified in you as it is. Be glorified as it is in you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So all men have not faith. But who has it? Those who are born of the Holy Spirit of God. They are the ones that have faith. And therefore they can exercise faith to have faith in God and come boldly to the throne of grace by that faith. Paul tells us in the 5th chapter of the Roman letter, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, by faith we have access into this grace wherein we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Notice he said, by faith we have access into more grace. You're probably familiar with access. Sometimes these interstates have access roads and you can't just get on the interstate anywhere. You have to have an access road. So there's an access here. There's an access to God's grace, and it's happened by faith. By faith we have access into this grace wherein we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You're standing in the grace of God because you have received it of His fullness, and because you're standing in the grace of God by sovereign mercy, why, you have access into more grace by faith. By faith that is exercised, coming boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, give me grace in this time of need. Lord, I need you as much as I ever have needed you. And usually that's more in a time of crisis. It's sad that that's the case, but in reality it is true. I hope we won't be like over in the book of Psalms, 107th chapter, I believe it is. He said, the storm and calm winds was boisterous, and I'm just paraphrasing what the psalmist said there. They mount up to the heavens and go down into the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble. And then when they're at their wits' end, they cry unto the Lord. There was a long time before we ever knew that term was in the Bible, at wits' end. We've heard some people say that, well, I just don't know what to do. I'm at my wits' end. Well, you may be at your wits' end. Some people right now in this coronavirus thing are at their wits' end. They know not what to do. But I trust we're like Jehoshaphat back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. They didn't know what to do either whenever the enemy was attacking them. But they called a fast and they prayed. They sought God's grace. And Jehoshaphat said, Lord, there's nothing too hard for thee. Nothing can withstand thee. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And I trust that's the case with you and I this morning, and that our eyes are upon the Lord. We know not what to do or handle this situation, but the Lord does. And He said, our eyes are upon you. And I trust our eyes are upon the Lord. They mount into the heavens. They go down into the depths. Their soul is melted because of the trouble. But at their wits' end, they cry unto the Lord. And He brings them out of their distresses. And He makes the storm a calm, so that and He brings them to their desired haven. Much like the apostles who were on the ship, and when the wind up boisterous and the ship was being filled with water, and they asked the Lord, waking Him up out of His sleep, and says, Lord, carest Thou not that we perish? Carest Thou not that we perish? Of course He cared. But remember, He had already told those disciples when they got on board the boat, He says, let us pass over unto the other side. God hadn't promised us a smooth sailing to get to the other side, but He has promised to get us to get to the other side. Carest thou not that we perish? And of course, Jesus, all He had to do was just say those three words, peace, be still. And the wind stopped. the waves stop. Of course, when the wind stopped, the waves would stop. No man has power over the wind except the Lord. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who been his counselor, has taught him, or anything? None, of course. And they marveled that even the winds and the sea obey him. What a marvelous Savior we have who dispenses this grace. Peace be still. He's the Prince of Peace. And of course, there's no peace outside him. He is our peace. And in fact, that's one of the names which he would be called, if you remember. In Isaiah, when he said, he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So all he had to do was just say, peace, be still. And the wind stopped. And I trust that he'll speak that to me this morning. Is speak it to you. Speak it to all the children of God. That we run to and fro and do not know what to do. Uncertain times, and we know what may befall us. And some people are hurting and suffering. And we know that. Not only here, but elsewhere as well. But we pray for God's grace to be with them. I pray for God's grace to be with me. I certainly need it. I need it right now to finish up this little message to you as children of God. And that you might be encouraged to continue to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Because of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Yeah, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And if you know this truth of God's saving grace, there's eternal saving grace, which he gives you when you were born of the Holy Spirit of God. And then there is daily grace that we need. We can't live, as I said earlier, on yesterday's grace. We must have today's grace. No wonder the Bible would tell us in the Corinthian letter, today is the accepted day. Today is the day of salvation, which means the day of deliverance. I know you may be delivered, need to be delivered this morning, and each day you may be delivered from fear, from anxiety. And of course, a good way to be delivered from fear and anxiety is just to do what the Scripture says, to come boldly to the throne of grace. As Paul tells us in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, see, there's that peace again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm thankful for verses of Scripture like that. I can be thankful for verses of Scripture like Philippians 4 and verse 13 when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm thankful for verses like Philippians 4:11 when the Apostle Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And so it wasn't something that he acquired automatically. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. I remember in the book of Acts when he was in prison, he and Silas, and at the midnight hour in the stocks, and the jailer had been told to make sure that they were kept fast. And the Bible tells us that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They sang and they come boldly to the throne of grace, and God evidently heard that prayer. A great earthquake was sent. His shackles were loose, the bands of the prisoners were loose, but they prayed at the midnight hour. And of course, the government had banned prayer, you know, at public places like schools and everything, but I've always said you really can't legislate prayer out of the life of a child of God, because prayer is in the heart, and they can come boldly to the throne of grace. Excuse me. I remember Hannah back in the Old Testament. This is certainly a child of God. She had received the fullness of God's grace, and she had access to more grace because she knew that her situation could not be remedied except God intervened. Her womb was barren, and she hadn't had a child. But her husband's other wife, she had children, and she always held it over Hannah because she did not have any. And she besought the Lord, and she come to the throne of grace, and she said, Lord, remember thine handmaid, and give me a man-child, and I'll dedicate to him all the days of her life. Her lips were moving, but nothing came out of those lips. And Eli saw that and said, you're drunk and you're on wine. But no, she said, I'm not but I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I poured out my soul unto the Lord. And the Bible says she spake in her heart. See, she didn't really have to utter audible words. She just spake in her heart. Why? Because there's one that makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered and knows what you need of, what you stand in need of, and what's in your heart, and is able to interpret and bring it before God Almighty, and He gives us that grace. And of course, Eli saw that it was true what she said. He said, "Go in peace, and the Lord thy God grant thy petitions." And she conceived and bore a son. And of course, as you Bible readers well know, his name was Samuel, because she had asked him of the Lord. He was turned out to be a great prophet that the Lord had blessed. So, children of God, this morning, or whatever time you're watching this broadcast, may not be morning, but anyway, just be reminded of His fullness, how we all received, and grace for grace. What a marvelous blessing it is to be able to bow our heads at all hours of the day or night and come boldly to the throne of grace because of His fullness, how we all received. And grace for grace. This is Elder Larry Wise, the pastor of Bethany Primitive Baptist Church, 5 miles west of Ikru. And it is our prayer that God would bless our congregation to get back in a reasonable manner of normalcy, and your congregation as well. And that pretty soon, hopefully, God will intervene and stop this virus in its tracks and spread no further, and we can get back to worshiping God in a normal way. Until that time is my prayer and the prayer of Bethany Primitive Baptist Church, that God would sustain you and bless you and keep looking up, because God's grace is ever sufficient. God bless.